Let's pray. I know we've already prayed this morning. We're going to keep on praying. Let's pray in Jesus' name. God, search us and know our hearts. Test us this morning and know our anxious thoughts. Point out anything in us that offends you and lead us along the path of everlasting life. Amen. Last week we talked about a dangerous prayer being, search me, O God. And I shared with you that we were having a pressure test done at this building that we're working on purchasing because there were some of the pipes burst because of the freezing. So they did the pressure test where they connected an air compressor and they brought it to a certain pressure and they saw if it held that pressure, and it did. So praise the Lord for that. We can thank God for the pipes not having hidden cracks and holes in them. And while we had a plumber there to do the pressure test, the roof we discovered is leaking in three different places. So this is the reality, I guess, of property ownership. We don't even own it yet. And we've got to think through how to address some of these issues. But brokenness is a reality. It's our dangerous prayer for today is to pray that God would break us. And why in the world would we want to pray a prayer like that, like, God, break me. We see, and this isn't going to be up on the screen, but we see in the Psalms that David has some sense of the importance of brokenness. He kind of gives us a template for us when he says to God, I would give you a burnt offering, but I know that's not what you're interested in. The offering, the sacrifice that you want me to make, the sacrifice that would be pleasing to you is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. Brokenness is a position of us instead of seeing our own strength. It's like what Tiffany shared with us from the Apostle Paul, where he says, my weakness is where God's strength can be seen. So praying for brokenness is something we can do. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to find out what that would mean for you? We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. Actually, Mark chapter 14, we're going to look at two different passages where we see some of the same words used about brokenness. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 3, we read, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. Part of what we need to acknowledge and appreciate and enjoy about Jesus, he is holy. And yet he doesn't try to insulate himself from the world. He does his ministry in this man's home, a man who had leprosy, but who had been healed from that. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. This would be something that came all the way from India. And, you know, when we buy stuff that's made in India now, of course, it doesn't take all that much to get it here. But if you can imagine that it would have to be, things from India would have to be carried across thousands of miles. So this was rare and expensive. So she comes in to where Jesus is eating. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. I want us to just say that last sentence out loud together. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Broken and poured out. there are clues as we look through the different Gospels. There are parallel accounts that give us clues that maybe this woman, maybe she made her living as a prostitute. That's what the clues kind of point to. And perfume in this setting, perfume would be one of the marketing tools of a prostitute. If you had a perfume that was essence of nard, it would be something that not a lot of people were using. And if you put a little dab of that on yourself and went through a busy marketplace, people would know. Ah. She's advertising. If there's a woman who's walking without a man accompanying her, and she's got an expensive perfume on, this would represent a tool of the trade. It would represent her past. So if you're writing notes in your program, her gift represented her past. And she comes to Jesus, and she breaks the container. I think that's significant because a broken container, there's no going back. She breaks the container of what represents her past. She's leaving her sinful life as she approaches Jesus. And her gift also represented her future. For us, it's like surrendering our savings, our provision. We're going to find out how much this perfume is worth as we continue in verse 4. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. So a thing about me that nobody knows is my wife got me some expensive cologne, like when we were in, that was when we were in high school, wasn't it? Drakkar Noir. You're laughing because you remember. That was a big deal, right? I was so hesitant to use that expensive cologne. I still have it. I have to move it in order to get to stuff that I actually use in our bathroom. It's still there. Cause I don't want to waste it. So I ended up essentially wasting. I should probably go home and throw it away. I could have brought it here and broken it and poured it out. I'm sure the middle school would love that. All the teachers would be, no, the teachers are too young to even remember that smell. I don't know. This perfume, though, verse 5, it could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Wouldn't we do the same thing? Can you imagine what a waste this is? I mean, a year's wages, it depends on how we measure it, but we're in this context today, we'd be talking about tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking about something that could sustain a not-for-profit food pantry for a long time if it would just be, instead of breaking it, just put it on eBay or something and then take that cash and turn it into something good. But here it is, broken and poured out. If we continue reading, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You'll always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time." She didn't know that's what she was doing. She thought, "I'm turning away from my past. I'm surrendering my future," and what Jesus is saying is, she's anointed me for burial. I'm not going to be here much longer. I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. So here we are, discussing this woman's deed that happened on the other side of the world 2,000 years ago. And as we continue in Mark's account of the life of Christ, we see these same words broken and poured out as he's having his last supper with his disciples. We read this in verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. By the way, I really appreciate how much ministry goes on around eating. I think there's a lesson there. I think we should eat more as we minister. I say that during this fasting time that many of us are going through. Anyway, so he eats with them. Then he, what did he do? He broke it. He broke the bread in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is, help me out, poured out as a sacrifice for many." We are certainly told by Jesus to remember what he did when he allowed himself to be broken and poured out for us. That's what we remember when we participate in communion in the Lord's Supper. The woman surrendered her past and her future to honor Jesus, broken and poured out for him, and to honor his heavenly Father and to express his love for us. Jesus allows himself to be broken and poured out. Shouldn't we consider what would it mean for me to be broken and poured out in order to honor him? What would that look like in my life? Some of you, something comes to mind right away. You think of a time where you were broken and poured out. You can point to a time in your history where you released your past, your sins, where you said, "That's done. I can't go back to that." And you put yourself in God's hands completely for your future. Where you go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Where you have given yourself to him. Maybe it was the point in your life where you got it for the first time, where you for the first time understood what it means that God loves us, loves the world, loves you so much that he gave his son. So that as you believe in him, you won't perish. You'll have eternal life. When you like got that for the first time, where you understood that he expressed his love to you in this, that while you were still sinning, Christ died for you. Where that finally made sense for the first time, that I don't have to work to try to earn salvation. He has been broken and poured out for me, and now I need to respond with faith, with belief, and with surrendering my future to him to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you had that point. Maybe it was the point of your belief, or maybe it was the point of your baptism, or maybe you've had another point in your life that's been a turning point. For me, there are very few times that I cry. Very few. And even fewer that I kind of ugly cry. You know? Where you just, you can't stop the crying from happening. Sometimes I'll get into a situation where I'll think, this is sometimes where people cry. I wonder if I could just kind of squeeze a, get a tear because I should be crying right now. And sometimes I'll get one out. I'm not talking about that kind of cry. I'm talking about the kind of cry that comes from behind you and just mows you down. I don't have that very often, but I have felt it. And one of the times that I had that kind of cry was where Michelle and I in the church that we were a part of in Oshkosh, a church where we kind of became adults. And we're challenged in that church to start praying the prayer, God, what would you have me do? At that point in the life of the church, they were going through a capital campaign, which just is like raising money to pay down debt so they could be more effective in ministry things. And the prayer that they challenged us to pray was, God, what would you have me do? Which we knew translated somewhat into what could we in faith contribute financially. It was a broader question, though. It was more about, what if I am poured out? What if I allow God to break me? What if I had him break my plans, take my agenda for the future, and scrap it? What if I just yield myself and say, I trust you wherever? What would you have me do? God, what would you have me do? What a contrast to what we often pray, which is more about what we would have God do, right? That's often what our prayers are. God, it would be great if you would bless this person, if you would heal that person, if you would take this business and help it be more prosperous so that people could get paid, so that people could have their basic needs met. God, would you please? And what a contrast to say, God, what would please you? And if you pray that consistently and have enough margin in your life to be quiet, to reduce the distractions, what might he put in front of you? What he put in front of us was my pastor saying, have you ever thought about church planting? And I've told this story, so I won't get into the details. I'll fast forward to the point that we've put our house on the market. I've quit my job. We're in the process of moving to Ripon, Wisconsin, in order to intern at a church plant. And I was getting ready for my last meeting at the church that we were a part of. And I will tell you, the job was tough to leave. The house was tough to leave. We lived in the same community as our best friends. It was going to be tough to move. But the toughest move for us was to say goodbye to that church community. That was our family. No offense, family. you know who's here. but I mean, you get, that's where we became adults. And I was on my way to that meeting, and I was listening to some music that was important to me at the time. And there was a song that came on, and the lyrics were, though I feel alone, I am never alone. You are with me. And I'm singing that, and I'm praying that. And then it comes at me from behind, this brokenness. That as I'm singing it, I suddenly start sobbing as I'm driving, as I realize I'm driving into the last meeting I'm having with these people who have been my family for almost 10 years, and I'm leaving, and they don't understand all of that. I'm going to leave, and they're going to be just fine. They don't understand that this is a, everything in my world is changing, and they're just going to meet again next month. And I was just overcome. And I remember my breaking down in that meeting, and my pastor like pulling me into the hallway and being like, man, it's going to be all right. And I'm thinking, I have been in his position before where somebody is ugly crying in front of me. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? I don't know. Some people would cry along, but I'm not sure how to do that. I felt broken and poured out my past. Is done. My future is uncertain, except that I know I'm following him. What might he ask you to do? It's probably not something in full-time ministry. It might be realizing that you have a ministry that's been in front of you for a long time and you've been avoiding it. It might be allowing God to break you and pour you out. And for someone in this room, I don't know. It might be you've toyed with the idea of being a foster home, but there's so much sacrifice and uncertainty that you just can't imagine. There's so much risk. There's so much that you might lose. There's so much that you might sacrifice. If you were to pray to God, what would you have me do? If you were to pray to God, I am willing to be broken and poured out to honor you for your glory. It's not about me, it's about you. What would you have me do? What might that do in your life? You might be in a job that you have for security, and you're realizing that you have no witness there, that you are essentially spiritually a dud, and God has something for you that you've been resisting because you're nervous about it. You're not certain about it. You might be in a relationship that you've been in because it's comfortable. And because it would be difficult to end that relationship, even though you know it's unhealthy. And if you were to pray to God, what would you have me do? He might say, end it. And that's more than you can handle right now. Are you willing to pray? Sometimes our prayer isn't, God, I want you to lead my life. Sometimes our prayer is a step further back. God, I want to want you. I'm not at the point where I want you to lead my life right now, but I want to want that. God, what would you have me do? Here's a question that's challenging to me, and I'm not going to leave it on me. I'm going to bother you with it. Somebody bothered me with it. I'm going to pass it on to you. Would you rather have 2020 go smoothly? Things go pretty well in 2020, but by the end of the year, you have grown no closer to Christ. Or would you rather endure hardship, loss, and difficulty, if it meant by the end of the year, you're going to be closer to Christ than you are right now? Are you willing to be broken? Are you willing to be poured out if that's what it's going to take for you to honor Christ with your life? For you to be a sharper instrument for God's use in the world? Fasting, which many of us are doing in one way or another right now, is designed to give us a taste of that. It's a manufactured difficulty. I'm putting a difficulty in my life that will remind me to draw closer to God, that removes a distraction so that I can pray when I have the impulse to instead do something that's comfortable or that protects me. It prepares us to trust Christ to be with us. In this manufactured brokenness, it prepares us to trust Christ to be with us when we're truly broken and poured out? Are you willing to pray that dangerous prayer? What would you have me do? God, I know you don't desire a burnt offering. I could put more offering in the plate. I could put more money in the plate. I could go to more events. I could be part of more programs. But that's not what you want, God. What you want is a broken spirit. I am willing, God, for you to break me. Are you willing to pray that? Over half this room stood up 2 weeks ago when Pastor Ross was here, and he asked who wanted to take their prayer life from ordinary to extraordinary during this new year. Over half the room stood up. How serious are you about that? Serious enough to be broken and poured out for Christ? Let's take a moment right now and pray about that. For the sake of the podcast, we're going to, we can cut off the recording right here because I want to have some quiet time. I want you to take a moment. Let's pray together. And some of that prayer is going to be quiet. God, this morning, I shared a prayer that was challenging in my life. What would you have us do? God, I ask that. We ask that together. God, what would you have us do? Some of us, God, are in here with a hidden sin, something that we've been carrying around and protecting, something that represents our past, but we know needs to be broken if we are to have a future where we draw closer to you, where we become your instrument. For someone in here who's carrying that burden with them, God, would you give them the strength, the courage in you? And God, bring to their mind the right person, the person they can trust, a godly person who has grace and love. Bring that person to mind. Someone who they can confess to. And God, someone in here is going to have the burden of hearing someone's confession. God, give us each strength and grace and love enough to handle those kinds of things the way Jesus handled them, to not be harsh. But to be loving. God, some of us have been putting off a decision, and we're scared and we're nervous and we're unsure. I pray, God, for clarity. For people who are on the edge, people who might be afraid that maybe they'll be broken. I pray, God, that as you lead us into difficult decisions like that, that we would discover that you are there, that we would discover a heavenly Father ready to embrace us and carry us through the difficulties, and that we would be closer to you than we ever have been before. And as a church, as we've made a decision to purchase a building, and there's so many uncertainties and so many ways that things could go wrong, that they could be derailed, and the culture of the church could be changed or affected, and we want to protect what you've done here. God, we yield that to you. And we continue to move forward prayerfully, trusting that you'll give us guidance. We don't pray these things because we have the holiness or the righteousness or the strength to approach you. We pray it in the holiness and the righteousness and the strength of Jesus Christ, who advocates for us. Let it be. Amen.